Back 907 on WPTF, and I tell you folks, coming up will be the kale eating contest of the century. And that's after the 10 o'clock news. We're going to gobble like a hog.
Woo.
This is the Rufus Reformation period.
Yeah, I'm getting a little nervous here, guys. You're a little nervous.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to eat. You don't have to clean your plate. Your mama used to make you do that, but
yeah. Grandma, all those little
You don't have to do
starving
that.
People in China.
But Gary Stevenson, who is the chief meteorologist at Spectrum News One, brought in some kale. He has a recipe. Apparently, all God's children got a recipe for kale, but we're banking on this, and we. We'll see what happens after the 10 o'clock news. Joel, do you want some kale? He's good. Joel's good.
We could reverse this thing a little bit about and test Gary out on chitlins.
Well, that's true.
We can't go too much public Gary on this, but... you know, there is a thing called the Wake County Chitlin Club. You've heard of it, haven't you?
You told me last time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you are going to be our new and best initiate this year, along with Governor Stein's chief of staff and some other folks. I think Gary would make a great member, Michael?
We got sheriffs and judges and lawyers and... We've had them all.
Yeah.
Former Supreme Court justices, former head of Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yes.
I mean, you name it. It's a who's who. But I'll tell you, it's a serious bunch.
JC.
We lost the CIA.
Yeah. You know what the CIA is, Gary?
I do not.
The Chitlin Investigative Agency.
Yeah, and that was JC Knowles.
And those are for people who go wayward.
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, Michael one time went down to Charleston, South Carolina, and put on a big fancy coat. What do you call them?
It was a
tuxedo.
No, it was tux. It was very plain.
But
it was black.
It wasn't required you do that, Gary. And
wedding. I contend to you, sir.
Out of the blue, put on a tuxedo. And he got hauled before the high tribunal and got tried and convicted.
Before everybody and his brother in there. And it must be 200 people in that place.
Yeah, but you helped prosecute another member one time.
I did. A judge, former senator and
our friend
law
Don Vaughn,
professor.
Who revealed publicly one of the rituals of the Chitlin Club on this very show. And we hauled him up, and Mike was the chief prosecutor.
I hated to do that.
Yeah, but...
More than anything.
He resisted, too.
But the great one made me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got to pick a new CIA director, and I'm thinking that over, mulling that over greatly. Between now
he's irreplaceable.
Yeah. JC was... of course, speaking of the... Raleigh Christmas Parade, you know the wonderful, wonderful person that had that for years and years and years was the...
Wesley Williams.
Was the predecessor of J.C. Knowles.
That's
as
right.
The head of the CIA. And he was wonderful. And Wesley left us, and then J.C. took over. And now here we are again without a director of the CIA.
Well, as much as I like to hear about chitlins, I'm curious to hear Gary's thoughts about the intersection between meteorology and gardening. I mean, that's obviously...
Well, that's a good way to ease us back in there.
I was going to say, that was a hard right, wasn't it?
That was not a segue, but you put us in our place.
I was about to nominate Rufus for the CIA directorship.
He can't be the CIA. He's the great one.
Oh, okay. Is there a title you don't hold,
General? I mean, he was. Carr Scott was the great one, governor of North Carolina. He started this unbelievable organization.
Yeah.
So Rufus,
So Phil, we're going to have to reel this back in. So what specifically are you looking for, Bud?
Well, you know, things are changing, and gardeners have to adjust, right? And you know, so what are your thoughts about that? Should we be planting earlier? Should we be planting later? Should we just? What about weed seed populations? Weed germination? Cool season broadleaf annuals have a longer germination period. I know that's one of the changes we're seeing. So just curious.
Listen, Gary studied math primarily when he was in school.
I'm still having nightmares about those 3 semesters of calculus, but no, literally for 20 years I had nightmares about not passing calculus.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, growing seasons are getting longer.
Mm. Yeah.
They are definitely getting
longer.
We're
in a different zone. Raleigh is in a different growing zone now.
I mean, there's things that grow here that didn't grow here back in the day.
Right.
Like this past spring, I mean, I had my garden in the ground fairly early March. Because a lot of times it's kind of like our last freeze or first freeze. Generally, that doesn't happen in November for central North Carolina. That normally tends to happen more toward the end of October. Mm-hmm. So that's a good indication right there.
Mm-hmm. Did we actually have a freeze in Raleigh officially?
Tuesday morning.
Okay.
Tuesday morning, most areas got 2 or below freezing. Because the next morning the Weather Service sent out a thing saying their frost and freeze program for the season is over with because of the cold temperatures.
Well, here's a specific question. You know, longer growing season, but is there still, like if we roll the dice and plant earlier in the spring because we've got this longer growing season, are we still at risk of kind of an unexpected frost? It just seems, I'm obviously not a meteorologist, but, there's more variability. It just seems like there's a lot more uncertainty. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly, because we do have a history of a lot of late season frosts, and freezes.
Yeah.
Everything you could, there was one, about 10 years ago where like in early April, we had a real hard freeze, and a lot of people had their plants out already in March. But to be honest with you, if you do plant early in the season, early in March, even up to mid-March, you've got to keep in mind that, okay, there's a possibility I may have to cover this up. Mm-hmm. I may have to do something if we end up with a frost or freeze. Frost are a little bit more possible than a hard freeze once you start getting into late March and early April in this area. But I think, my son and daughter-in-law gave me a little portable greenhouse for Father's Day last year. And my plan is this year is to kind of set it up and have my plants in there fairly early in March if the weather's conducive for it. And then that way they are protected to a certain extent if we do have something like that. But I think we are in a situation where you're a little more likely to be able to put stuff in the ground earlier without having to deal with that freeze and frost. And this past spring was one of those examples.
But maybe go ahead and get some row covers just in case.
Exactly.
I think row covers are kind of underutilized by just kind of casual gardeners. And they're inexpensive and, they're fairly easy to use.
How do you set them up?
Well, it's just a real lightweight fabric. And you just lay it out over the plants and hold it down with some rocks on the sides just to kind of create that.
Is
little,
it a tunnel like thing?
It's just a fabric. I mean, yeah.
So how do you keep them off the plants?
Well, yeah, you could make some little. You could make some little hoops.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that would be ideal to have those hoops set up on your raised beds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How big is your little greenhouse, Gary?
Probably about the size. I forget we're not on TV. About the size of this cabinet right here, Rufus.
Okay.
It's a little small television cabinet.
Yeah, basically.
Probably 4 feet tall.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, your plants are very small, mm-hmm. so you can put them in there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we better go swiftly to this call. Senator, it's an honor, sir. Your ears were either burning or you were just talking about
all
you.
All I can say is long live the Chitlin Club. There's going to be an appeal of that decision.
I think you should.
I'm your best listener in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Well,
this year is nice to be woken up in bed by WPTF and the Garden Show, and just wait for the appeal process, and you guys keep going.
Well, talk Judge, you did later. You have you talked about your case in your law school class?
Interesting. I am professor of state and local government at Wake Forest School of Law, and I mentioned this one time that I was illegally prosecuted by the North Carolina Chitlin Club, and I was just trying to figure what the exact appeal process is for that decision.
There is no appeal on that. There is no appeal, Mr. Vaughn.
There's no appeal. Well, I'm going to go cry all day long.
Well,
at the Carolina,
now you can
the
you
Carolina
can bring it
Wake Forest game.
You can bring it back up before the CIA if you'd like a retrial. I'll consent to that right now. I don't think you better do that, though.
Well, let me discuss this with my advisors at the Chitlin Club that I will be sitting with at the Carolina-Wake Forest game at 4:30, including one Larry Pollard is a member, and several others be sitting with me. You never know what you can. You never know who is listening on the radio and where they are, and all I wanted to do was say, long live the Chitlin
Well,
Club.
Brother Pollard, by the way, for the listeners, is the man who proffered the owl theory in the Peterson trial.
Oh.
We all thought that Larry was off his rocker until Netflix made a special of the owl theory. Made a special of it. And, you know, a fellow wrote a book on the owl theory, and all the things that we thought that Larry was wrong on, he was right. He was right. And that death, which occurred so many years ago now, the fella is out. He got out because the blood spatter evidence person was a crook. He had gone through the State Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, Dwayne Deaver was the FBI guy, Dwayne Deaver.
And he did not have the credentials he said he had. And the case turned, not exactly on the owl theory, but on the fact that he got out on a motion for appropriate relief because the expert was not who it says he was. So right. Always challenge everything.
Well
I'm going to get ready to go to the Carolina Wake Forest game. Alumni of
I'm not going to wish you luck, my friend.
And long live the Chitlin Club, long live WPTF.
Well, thank you so much. It's always an honor to talk to you. Professor, Judge, Senator Vaughn.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. All right.
I'll be listening in.
Drive carefully. Bye. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. It's 9:20. All right, 9:24 as we zip along here on the Weekend Gardener. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. There are, we've had a hard freeze, but, my banana tree with the big leaves still doing fairly well. So, I mean, there are some leaves that have died off, turned brown, but that, I guess it must be protected. But there's one in the neighborhood that's not protected, so I wasn't sure that we had gotten a hard freeze.
But, do you mulch it pretty heavy over the winter, or you just leave it be?
Yeah, I mean, I keep it until its last gasp because it's easier to cut down, for one thing. And I cut it pretty much to as low as I can, and then I pile leaves on top of it to protect it, and it keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying an experiment this year on elf and ears. I usually bring them in. I've got one that when we were down in one of our outings in Rocky Mountain or somewhere, Mike, somebody gave me a black elephant ear. I'm leaving it in the pot, but piling a lot of mulch.
Maybe that was
on
in
it.
Nashville at the Nashville, Extension
correct.
Service.
Yeah. And I'm seeing if any notion on that, Paul? Will that winter over?
It seems like I remember that elephant ear can make it through the winter if it's not too terribly cold and yeah, if you give it a little bit of protection.
Yeah. Now, yesterday I started on my winter roundup of cutting back the perennials. I am pruning the hydrangeas that I know that are. I normally leave some of them to find out what's to prune, what's not to prune until the springtime. If it's dead, don't do it. But I know these are the bush ones, the big bald ones. I go back about a foot from the top to the next bud on the hydrangeas. That seems to work for me. I have several, probably about 20. I'm going to finish that this afternoon. So it's a good time, in my opinion, to start your winter cleanup.
There's some interesting research happening at NC State on the perennial cleanup, if there's any benefit to waiting until the spring to do the cleanup from the standpoint of beneficial insect habitat. And I'm not sure if results are widely known yet, but you know, the theory was those insects, those beneficial insects, the pollinators, the predators, they need somewhere that's sheltered.
Right.
And some of them lay their eggs in the stems or hide in the debris, and if there's any value in leaving that stuff up. So I might do a quick search during the break and see.
I think most people get the notion, okay, it looks ugly now.
Yeah.
First big frost, let's get it out of here. That's been my theory. But if you leave the leaves, you still can protect a lot of pollinators and things like that. Hibiscus, I cut about 15 hibiscus down yesterday. Phlox, my favorite thing is a perennial, is tall phlox, because you can't beat it. You get at least two seasons a year.
You like that more than hellebores and 4 o'clocks?
Well, 4 o'clocks have become very 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10. Everywhere you turn,
it's very poetic.
There is a 4 o'clock. Very invasive. Much more invasive than hellebore.
Oh.
But I still love them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the craft fair is going on at the farmer's market, and Ms. Monica is going to join us this morning talk about that. That's always a big deal out there. You may have to go to Phil's and the farmer's market today, Rufus. I don't know.
Well, I did go to the Korean dance.
Did you dance?
Just a little bit. I did a little shuffle, not much.
Wow.
I'm getting into the shuffle stage.
Your shuffle, you pick up your feet.
Yeah, just.
Your doctor would tell you to pick up your feet. That way you don't fall.
More of a shuffle than a pickup.
Okay.
I've always been in the shuffle stage because I can't dance.
Oh. A man can't dance.
I bet he can't fast dance.
I bet not.
Hey.
Even with a fiddle.
I'm all for slow dancing.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Gary Stevenson is chief meteorologist with Spectrum News One and a gardening friend. And Paul McKenzie's here, retired extension agent in Vance and Warren counties. And everybody knows Rufus Edmonston. Hey, I got just got an email from Dave, who says, greetings from St. Thomas.
Oh, my goodness.
He also, because he's listening, I guess, at WPTF.com in St. Thomas, but he says, no appeal. He's talking about the Chitlin Club, and he says, perhaps there could be some kind of binding arbitration.
No, it's over with. The trial's over with. Happened. It was unanimous. That's it. The great one rules. No appeal.
Okay. So I don't know. Are there any club bylaws? he mentions that too.
No, there is.
All I got to say, if I get pulled into the vortex of this thing, I'm bringing my son with me. He went to law school over at Carolina. I think I'm going to need some representation.
Well, I'll tell you, if you fell down, you'd hit about 10 lawyers.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
I don't know if that'll do you any good or not.
A bunch of lawyers and judges there. I'd say there are more lawyers and judges there than any other profession. Oh.
Yeah.
So it's, they all voted unanimously to convict Don Vaughn. And
I didn't hear any objections.
Oh no, no.
So,
I think Dave is right. Dave is listening to the words of the great one.
I think so, mm-hmm. Sir.
Okay, so what do chitlins taste like? We've already determined
chicken.
Chicken.
Whatever you want them to be, Gary.
Well, these are made or special.
They're fried
at Pam's restaurant. So.
Yes, I had a book one time written by a man named Stevenson out of eastern North Carolina. There's 101 ways to use chitlins, and my favorite one was used it as a slingshot.
Yeah, I mean that's possible, depending on what stage.
Yeah.
What did you have there?
But there's so many ways. There are probably 50 ways of people talk about doing chitlins. And the one good recipe was our dear friend Moses Galleon is deceased.
Harnett County.
Yeah. And
he was an expert.
He was an expert, and he died, and I hate that.
Yeah.
But he had a certain way. And said his daughter Erica could fix them better than he could. But I like the way Pam does them. It's sort of like eating fried clams. You like fried clams?
I do like fried clams.
I think you can take it. Now, some people...
There's some Texas Pete on the table.
Yeah. And people think they can sneak through the line and not eat them. Well, the CIA is always watching.
Yeah.
So I don't want any of this stuff of anybody that's a new initiate going through the cafeteria line and having the pot of chitlins there and saying, well, I'll just skip this over and they won't see me. They
Plus,
will see you.
Fat Leg moves around a lot.
Yeah.
He's sergeant at arms, so
correct.
You know, not much gets by him.
No. He's the sergeant at arms, a longtime agent with me when I was Secretary of State, and we named him Fat Leg. But one day I was asleep over there in the right side of the car, and I woke up, and there's this big old fat leg on mine. And I said, get that fat leg off me.
Well, I mean, it was a long trip, and he was – but Fat Leg also says there is another side to that story.
Well, it's my side.
It's the only side that counts, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was named Fat Leg, and it has
– It's stuck.
Stuck with him.
Well, getting off the chitlin subject again.
I'd like to use my segue skills again here.
Hey, you know.
Well, just wait a minute. I'll come up with something.
Well, you know, we were talking about how fast the month is going by. We were talking to Phil a while ago. You know, next Saturday is the Raleigh Christmas Parade.
Yeah.
And now you fellas have been in the parade, right?
I've been on floats. You have too, yep, I'm sure, Rufus. Yes. Yeah.
Paul? A long time
ago. I've watched it. Yep.
Yeah, I've been watching the weather for
and
that.
And it used to be a lot colder.
Well, oh, man, one of the coldest ones we were ever in. Like when you're going past the Campbell Law School, that's when you're in the shade.
Yeah.
Just before you turn to the Capitol. It was so cold. Lee Ringer was on the float with me that year, and he ended up with pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
After the parade. But this year looks like a warm parade, but European model keeps hinting the possibility, maybe some sprinkles. Hopefully the European model doesn't know what it's talking about. But warm parade's good.
Well, I hate to see Santa Claus with a raincoat on.
European model. Why do you bring that up, Gary? I've been intrigued with that.
Well, it's not the only one. These are computer models.
Right.
Yeah.
So
there's something special about the Limeys that do that?
Well, here's the deal. The European model has more data points. It's a little bit of a finer grid model.
Because they get more money from the governments over there.
Yeah, and the European model tends to be the more accurate model. So compared to the American GFS, which GFS are my initials. Gary Franklin Stevenson. So I try to lean toward that model, but a lot of times the European model seems to be a little bit more onto it.
And is that just for precipitation, or is it for weather?
Hurricanes.
Pretty much everything. Oh,
yeah.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true.
It seems to. The American model gets things right a lot of times, but the European model, if it's not saying it, I'm probably not saying it because and then when both of them actually agree, which happens every once in a while, that gives you really good confidence. But if I'm looking, like when we were talking about the hurricane Melissa a few weeks ago, you know, the Euro, I think, locked onto it first where it was going to go. And now we have AI models, weather models that are coming out.
Oh, wow.
That are trying to. And they're new, but they seem to be doing a decent job, at least with the tropics. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, here's the question, Gary. While I'm watching my favorite news weathercaster, Gary Stevenson, where does it come in that you put your opinion in? That's what I want to know.
When I'm on TV.
and those he just brings all the information together.
Yeah, basically looking at all the information, funneling it down, filtering it in, and going, okay, this is what I think is going to happen.
Yep.
All right.
That's right.
That's impressive.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 9:40. Okay, it's 9:44. We're back, and Miss Monica's with us right now. Hey, Miss Monica, you got a craft fair going on? Is that right?
Good morning. We do. We've got our fall craft fair underway, and lots of crafts, and it's a beautiful day to come on out.
I was wondering of the Korean fair that you had recently. Rufus said that he danced. Did you witness that?
I didn't. I believe that was a previous year that he had done that, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But I missed it, and I really hate that I did.
Because I'm sure the Korean shag.
I did a little shuffle this year, Monica.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. Well, I missed it again then. You're going to have to let me know when this thing's happening.
I think that should be a big deal.
Yes. Most definitely.
So what's going on? You got a lot of people already out there?
Oh, we do, and we have hundreds of handmade crafts here. Just so many things that you can choose from. A perfect place to get your Christmas shopping started. And there's woodworking, there's jewelry, there's candles, wreaths. There's all kinds of things that you can come out and shop for that are really unique gift items that you can't find just anywhere, and it's just a good time to start marking those names off the list as you're thinking about Christmas, because believe it or not, it's, guess what, almost a month away. So,
yeah, I know. When are y'all getting Christmas trees?
I was about to say, and we have just a few Christmas trees that have started setting up.
Already?
Yes.
Wow.
They are here. We have a vendor that has come in and is not setting up in his regular spot. He's out near the front parking lot. They are under the trees as you're coming towards the farmer's area. Because with the craft fair going on, he's going to wait and start setting up in his regular spaces on Monday. So believe it or not, we do
wow.
have fresh North Carolina Christmas trees and wreaths and garland getting ready for the holidays. So we have that here as well.
Why not? I mean, we get Christmas music, we're getting that, and Christmas ads and you know everything. It all starts after Halloween now. So
it does. It really does. Everybody's ready.
I'm ready.
Yes. So it's a beautiful day to come out. Kind of hard to think about Christmas as pretty as it is today and as warm as it is, but it's definitely just
Gary brought us
corner.
Some great weather the next couple of days.
Yes, we're thankful for that. And, again, a beautiful day to come out, bring the family, and walk around and shop the market, support all of our local vendors. They worked hard making all of these beautiful crafts that we have. And then, of course, all of our farmers are here as normal. You can still find a good selection of a few of the summer harvests hanging on. We still have some peppers and tomatoes, seen a few green beans. We actually have someone here, a new farmer from the market. Their family used to sell many years ago at the old market and come back around. And they actually have a late season of peas, our field peas coming in.
Nice.
And, yes, so they're here with their field peas. They have, they even have dried. They're selling some dried as well. And fresh field peas also. They have some in the hull and they have them already shelled. And then, of course, we have collards, which is just a staple for the holiday season. We have sweet potatoes, those mountain apples, all different varieties of those, apple cider, and just so much more that you can find that are all the wonderful things that are grown, raised, caught, and made here in North Carolina.
Glad you mentioned that because a lot of people ask about that. I know you're the music, the song that plays, the advertisement, and trying to figure out what the man's talking about or what he says.
Yes, it goes kind of fast in that jingle. It's
it
a little
does.
Bit hard to
He's singing it, up a storm.
Yes, that's right. But
grown, raised, so caught, and made.
That's right. Grown, raised, caught, and made right here in North Carolina. Nothing better.
Well, it's so fun this time of year to come and sample all the different apple cultivars that we grow in North Carolina. We were down there a week or so ago, and my wife got a mixed bag of several different cultivars. The Gold Rush she gave rave reviews about. So that's one to look for.
Most definitely.
One of my favorites is the Arkansas Black.
Arkansas Black.
I like the tangier ones, like the, you know, it's, well, not the Granny Smith. That's more for cooking, but Stamen, Winesap, Arkansas Black. More to my taste.
Those are good, too. The Pink Ladies, a favorite of mine, and Honeycrisp. Tamio is also another one that I really love. And, you know, but, and that's the thing. It doesn't matter if you like it sweet or tart. You can find them all. And the folks that are growing them will help you figure out if you're looking something to make apple butter or maybe you're just wanting to make an apple cobbler, they can tell you which variety tends to do better in whatever you're looking to do. Or just fresh, of course, you know, nothing better than having a fresh apple to munch on, and they're good for you.
Well, we've talked about all kinds of foods.
You can put them in a kale salad.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
I'd rather have apple pie. Apple pie is my.
Now, let's move along here.
Gary Stevenson is going to, you know, from Spectrum News One, is going to be out there with us on the 13th of December. For our show, and we're looking forward to that.
Yes, that'll be fun. And I want to make sure everybody knows we've got another special treat today up in our market shop. We have Carolina Packers Brightleaf Hot Dogs. Everybody may have heard of them if you're anywhere from the Johnson County or Wake County area. Most people know about the red hot dogs. So Brightleaf is here up in there, sort of near the grill. And they're set up, and they are sampling and selling their spiral ham.
Oh, Rufus.
That's the only way to go.
You're going to be a busy fella today going from one party to the next.
They have got the red hots. I don't know if you've ever tried those. They're bologna. They also have some, of course, the hot dog. I can't remember if I mentioned the, just the regular hot dog. And they're sampling all those things up today, and they have some.
Now, what do you mean a regular hot dog?
Well, for me, what I call just the regular hot dog is just your regular. Some people refer to it as a framed, I guess.
Something but, other than a Carolina Packer Red?
No, that's what I'm talking about. For me,
okay.
Don't get her all turned around, Counselor.
Yeah, well, she got me turned around.
A regular hot dog's different depending on what area you're from and what you're used to. But
yeah.
If you've never tried them, be sure to stop by and try them. And they're doing some specials this weekend where they have some gift bag deals. And they've got their big truck up here and just a great place to stop and try some more North Carolina products. And again, they're there in our market shop along with the Market Grill where you can get a Rufus dog already cooked. Or you can go on down and buy a pound bag or two and take those home and throw them on the grill and cook them yourself. And people can go home and create their own Rufus dogs. you just have to give them the recipe.
Mustard, slaw, chili, and onions.
Yes, mustard, slaw, chili, and onions. And then, of course, we have the folks with the fresh seafood. We have a lot of our other meat vendors in there. Some of those guys have good ham, sausage, if you're looking to get ready for Thanksgiving. We do have a few vendors that have turkeys, and of course all the jams and jellies. We have ice cream, fresh squeezed orangeades and lemonades. If you're looking at cake or pie to take to a party, or you're just trying to get ready for that Thanksgiving meal, you can place an order or you can pick up one ready to go.
Well, my challenge to everybody is get as much North Carolina grown products as you can on your Thanksgiving table. And it's not hard. Hams, turkeys, sweet potatoes, pumpkins, we do it all here.
Do you have any of those tunnel grown strawberries from down east?
We are starting to see some of those popping in here and there. So, and I've been busy getting craft fair folks checked in, so I have not seen for sure if they have them this morning. But they have, it's that time of year where you'll be seeing those coming in, sort of hit and miss, and then they'll have them right on through the summer. Through the winter, getting my seasons mixed up there.
Well, it's because of the weather today.
It seems almost like a summer-like
yes,
day.
Yes, Gary.
I was going to say, we had winter on Monday and Tuesday. That's it.
We sure did.
That's it. It's over with.
We get it all in 1 week, right?
Apparently, we got a little sample. That's nice to get samples.
Right.
Speaking
that's
of.
Right. That's the thing about you have to keep your closet ready for whatever season might come upon each day, so you never know what you're going to have to wear from day to day. Lots of layers, that's for sure.
Well, Market Restaurant's a pretty good place to eat if you just want to overdo it completely. Just get in there and pile it on.
Good country-style cooking. They're open till 3 p.m. daily with breakfast or lunch. Those homemade biscuits, that's the first thing they bring out to the table.
I know.
And nothing better. And then, of course, if you would not quite in the mood for the country cooking, you can go over to the seafood restaurant, and Kim will fix you up with some delicious Calabash-style seafood.
But don't go over there until 11 o'clock.
That's right. They open at 11, and they close at 7 on Friday and Saturday, and other nights they close at 6. And just a delicious treat as you're coming out and shopping around the market, being able to have breakfast or lunch while you're here. And I want to give a shout-out to Connie and Charlie Upshaw. They were here yesterday afternoon down at the event center where I was doing the check-in and everything for the craft fair. And they came over to sit at one of the picnic tables to have their seafood plate. And they were talking to me, and they recognized my voice and asked me, was I Monica?
About that? Everybody gets famous on the weekend, Gardner.
I guess so. And I said, well, yes, I am. So we struck up a conversation, and they're avid listeners. I wanted to give a shout-out to them this morning.
Bless them. That's nice.
Them
I appreciate
that. Appreciate.
That's the first time that's happened to you, Monica?
Oh, no. Actually, it's not. My voice must be one of those that just stands out.
It's a pretty sweet voice. And I know the crowds can bother you. Rufus has told us many times. Autograph seekers and all of that. So don't let it bother you. Just suck it up.
That's right. Yep. Just got that country twang that I guess folks pick up on. I don't know.
But good old Johnston County accent.
Yes. Well, it's an honor to be linked to your show.
It's an honor to be linked to the agriculture department as we have for most of our existence here.
Yeah.
This station.
Definitely a great partnership.
Well, we got to go, Monica.
Sounds good. You guys come see us. We're here.
Yeah, the craft fair today and tomorrow until 5, right?
That's right. Free admission, free parking.
All right, Miss Monica, you get back to signing autographs.
All right. Sounds good. You guys take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be back. More of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead. We'll eat some kale.